Hello, my friends. It's Thursday, March 20th, 2025, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belleville, your Red State refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in my undisclosed mountain hideaway in the beautiful state of Jefferson region of Southern Oregon. Welcome to the program. We've got lots to talk about today. We're going to give you an update on the story I covered yesterday about the DEI purge in the Department of Defense when they took down the Navajo Code Talkers and Jackie Robinson and the Tuskegee Airmen. We got a statement from the Department of Defense on that, and it's kind of shocking, so stay tuned for that. We'll also take a look at the boycotts that are happening against Tesla and a big nationwide boycott being planned for March 29th and examining the hypocrisy of the GOP when it comes to boycotts. We've got an update on what the fuck, Chuck. That's right, Chuck Schumer, who is hoping for a return to the old GOP. Ah, the good old days, the old GOP. Let's take a look back at just how good those good old days were. In our regular Boycott Idaho segment, I'm going to show you a new bill that has passed the House and Senate there, sitting on the desk of the governor, that would give Idahoans the freedom to infect everyone. That's right, the freedom to spread any disease you like. Yeah, seriously, what's going on with Idaho? And not that Idaho's the only wacky red state out there. To close out the show, we're going to take a look at the most recent LGBTQ hate that's taking place across the country, including a bill in Arkansas to mandate cisgender haircuts. Yeah, we're going to mandate haircuts like we're in North Korea, I suppose. All that's coming up on the Radical Russ Show. Real quick, before we get to those main topics, I just want to enjoy this little bit of audio. You may remember that Liz Cheney, the Republican representative of Wyoming and daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, lost her seat in the U.S. House of Representatives for being part of the January 6th committee. Of course, Donald Trump and all of the MAGA decided that she was persona non grata, an evil conspirator with the Democrats, a traitor to the nation for, you know, upholding the Constitution. So she lost her gig. She was defeated in Wyoming by a woman by the name of Harriet Hageman. And she's the representative out of Wyoming now, and she held a town hall in Wyoming. And understand that when it comes to red states, you know, Idaho may be one of the reddest, but boy, Wyoming is right up there. Our smallest state with in respect to population, Wyoming's got like 700,000 people or so, and even the Democrats in Wyoming are some pretty conservative people. So it warmed my heart to see this clip from MSNBC where Harriet Hageman is doing a town hall meeting. I assume it's going to be in one of the cities like Laramie or Casper or something like that. And this is the response she got as she was defending Elon Musk and Doge.
I worked for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, helping Wyoming family farmers deal with drought until I was fired a month ago in the mass firings, and despite only having the highest marks in my performance review. In a state where so many farmers rely on government programs for drought and disaster relief, Trump's plans to cut these programs and the people who administer them, coupled with the tariffs, will decimate Wyoming farms and rural communities. What are you doing about that?
I disagree. This woman is telling you exactly what's going on in her life, her own career. She's one of the federal workers, and she disagrees that it's going to have any problems. Oh, are the MAGA finally waking up here? Are they finally realizing they've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, suckered? I think Donald Trump made a critical error in bringing Elon Musk along. I think he made a critical error here because Trump has already been elevated to pseudo-godhood status within the MAGA cult. And so any criticism of him is going to fall flat for them. But bringing in Elon Musk, some guy who was originally associated with the left because he was the electric car guy, this guy, bringing him in, a South African Nepo baby apartheid centibillionaire, he's going to draw all of the heat, and he's going to make the Trump administration sink in their approval ratings overall. Maybe Trump will still be beloved by the MAGA, but Doge and Elon Musk are going to drag down this administration. He is going to be the ultimate heel in this little kayfabe they're putting on. And I don't know if it was a smart idea on Trump's part. I think if Trump had been doing all of this Doge stuff on his own and promoting it as his DEI purge, I guess, then maybe he'd be able to get away with it off the force of his personality. But Elon Musk, as we've all seen, has the personality of a wet paper bag. This guy is not charismatic at all, and he's bringing a lot of fire. And I think a lot of these MAGA might start to turn on him, especially with respect to how he's screwing over the veterans and how they're going to be messing with Social Security. Those two topics, as they start to attack those areas, the response from the people is going to be overwhelming, even amongst the Republicans. A couple of other quick things I wanted to share with respect to the rest of the nation, rest of the world, and their attitudes toward America. There was a post up from a poster named Dirty Water PJ that said, members of the punk band UK Subs were detained upon entering the US yesterday. After 24 hours of being locked up with little to eat or drink and no sleep, they were sent back to London. They had the correct paperwork for the visit and can only conclude that their public statements regarding the tangerine toddler resulted in this treatment. Everyone not American who needs to travel to the U.S. is whose need to travel to the U.S. is not essential should avoid going to this country until this regime is gone. And this is on the heels of Germany updating its U.S. travel advice after some of its German citizens were detained. There's another story circulating on social media of a Canadian woman who was detained and given cold showers and no access to her family for days, and how she had to go through this this ordeal. So this closing down of America, this fear of immigrants, is starting to affect more countries than just what the typical MAGA would think. This is affecting our allies. This is affecting people who regularly visit the U.S. The travel, the booking of flights, the booking of hotels and vacations from Canadians to the United States has decreased markedly. We are becoming a pariah nation. We are becoming so isolated in the world stage that it's going to take decades for us to recover from this. The Pentagon has responded to the outrage over the removal of various web pages referring to the Navajo code talkers, the Tuskegee Airmen, the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima, the legacy of Jackie Robinson. All of these pages that were taken down in the Doge Control F search and replace DEI purge. That's good news. Glad that those pages are back online. They considered this an oversight at the Department of Defense, and they were asked by reporters, specifically ESPN was asking about the Jackie Robinson page being taken down, and a Pentagon press secretary named John Ulyott, U-L-L-Y-O-T, Ulyott, I guess, was asked about this and had the following statement to the press, quote, "As Secretary Hegseth has said, DEI is dead at the Department of Defense. Discriminatory equity ideology is a form of woke cultural Marxism that has no place in our military. It divides the force, erodes unit cohesion, and interferes with the service's core warfighting mission." You see what he did there? "We are pleased by the rapid compliance across the department with the directive removing DEI content from all platforms. In the rare cases that content is removed, either deliberately or by mistake, that is, out of the clearly outlined scope of the directive, we instruct the components and they correct the content accordingly. Oh my God, where do we start with this? All right, first of all, their little his little word games with DEI, right? Discriminatory equity ideology. Discriminatory equity. Discriminate equity. It's like, what an oxymoron, like, you know, military intelligence or jumbo shrimp, or compassionate conservative. Discriminatory equity. I just, wow. Everything they do here, that I you know, you got to hand it to the Republicans on their branding. They're really good at being able to take something and twist it and rebrand it. DEI, of course, stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they can never say that because most people are for that. Most people are for diversity and equity and inclusion. So they got to come up with these didn't earn it and discriminatory equity ideology. This idea. Oh, and the other one. I love when whenever you hear the phrase cultural Marxism, that's a big red flag that some bullshit is on the way. I would give this guy $100 if he could actually define just Marxism, much less cultural Marxism. And of course, the reappropriation of the word woke to be some sort of epithet. DEI, really, from their point of view, is just the shortest way to spell the N-word. That's what it is. And their theory here that that divides the force and erodes unit cohesion and interferes with the service's core warfighting mission, as if we recognize black troops or gay troops or Navajo troops, and that somehow makes the rest of the troops sad, that makes it so they can't fight together, recognizing that we are different peoples, we come from different cultures, and we all have different strengths to add to our nation's warfighting mission. The whole point of the Navajo co-talkers was that diversity in our nation helped us win World War II. That we had a diverse culture that included Native Americans whose languages weren't written down so they couldn't be studied or codes be broken, and for whom there were only very few and only American speakers. Not a lot of Navajo speakers in Germany or Japan at the time. Diversity saved our ass. So, yeah, they're covering their ass here in restoring these pages. But it just goes to show the type of attitude that the tech bros in this Doge group bring to the effort. Their idea is just, let's just destroy everything that has the word black or gay or Indian or any word that's not white male. Let's just search for all of that and then delete it all. And then when the left bitches enough about 6 or 7 pages, we'll put those back up while all the rest of them still fall by the wayside. And this is a technique that both Donald Trump and Elon Musk have used in court and in business to great avail. They've recognized that they can just move fast and break shit, whether that be codes or laws or mores or norms. Just move fast and break shit. And they might get caught on a few of the things. They might lose a court case here or there, but they can always appeal and extend and file motions and delay and deny. Meanwhile, the dollars keep racking up. Meanwhile, the bank account keeps growing, and they build more and more power to hire more attorneys to extend things out longer and longer, so they never face justice. They never face accountability, because this country for too long has had a big problem trying to hold powerful people to account. Our worship of money, our worship of capital, our worship of wealth and of whiteness prevents us from holding these people to account. We look in other countries, in South Korea, where they have a coup attempt, and the next 2 or 3 days, the guys are in jail, arrested. Same with Brazil. They're holding their people to account. Same with the Philippines, holding their people to account. All over the world, the people recognize they have the power and hold the powerful people to account. Not here. not here because, you know, in God we trust, and that is our money. That's what we trust. That is our God. So long as you got enough of it, you can get away with just about anything. Well, you know that this Tesla boycott that's taking place all across the nation is really having an effect. First of all, you had to have Donald Trump turn the White House lawn into a car lot, making his own little oval or his own little White House commercial for Teslas. Make sure you go out and buy a Tesla. Elon Musk is helping us. Next thing you know, Elon Musk is crying and complaining on the social media and the various news programs. How come nobody likes me? All I do is build electric cars and spaceships for people. All I do is good things. Why so much hate? This guy who's dismantling our federal government brick by brick. This guy who's giving Nazi salutes on stage. This guy who's out in Germany supporting the far-right Nazi party.
Well, why does nobody like me?
This guy who's holding his kid as a human shield from his paranoid fears of being assassinated.
Why does nobody like me?
The boycott must be going really well, because the Secretary of Commerce was on Fox the other day telling people they needed to buy Teslas, that the Democrats want to destroy Tesla so they can destroy Elon Musk. Well, yeah, sure. We gotta vent our anger somewhere. It's not doing much good to vent it at Donald Trump or the Democratic Party, so why not Tesla? Why not? Because the reason this boycott can be so effective is everything about Elon Musk, all his worth, depends on the value of his Tesla stock. He's used the value of his Tesla stock as collateral on loans for other things, the SpaceX, the Starlink. It's all this big Ponzi scheme house of cards built on the value of his Tesla stock, which now has decreased 40% over the past year. 40% decline. It was trading in the 400s. Now it's in the 200s. Last I looked, it was like 225. And this boycott movement is only growing. Protesters are planning the biggest protest on March 29th, calling for protests at all 500 Tesla showrooms around the world. And if you don't have a Tesla showroom in your vicinity, calling on boycotts and protests at the Tesla superchargers. I don't think we've got a Tesla dealership in Grants Pass, Oregon, but I know we got a bunch of Tesla superchargers over there by the Winco on, Grants Pass Parkway. So I'll be there on March 29th. Maybe somebody else will join me. Recently, there was a big organizing phone call on this to bring people together. The director of Planet Over Profit says that the protesters are aiming for 277 Tesla showrooms in the U.S. and hundreds more overseas, saying, quote, "We need to show Elon that he can throw a tantrum online because his stocks are tanking. He can get Trump to put on a humiliating used car show in front of the White House. These wannabe authoritarians can try to intimidate us from exercising our First Amendment rights, but they can't stop us from fighting back." Now, understand that this protest movement is separate and distinct from the acts of vandalism that are occurring at some of these Tesla dealerships. The most recent one I saw was Cars on Fire over in Las Vegas. This is not what that's about, and we don't want to let that vandalism start to get out of hand and become a negative image of the Tesla protests. Now, I don't know how negative it might be because, again, Elon's sinking so quickly in his public image that I don't know how much sympathy he's going to get. But we want to keep this movement peaceful when it comes to the demonstrations, just to avoid any of the negative headlines, because the administration is fighting back against this. Attorney General Pam Bondi was out talking about how these protests, these violent protests, will be treated as terrorism, domestic terrorism. And of course, Trump on his Truth Toilet has tweeted out about the illegal collusion, the illegal conspiracy to boycott Tesla. Boy, I tell you, these right-wingers. Illegal boycotts. How dare you boycott an American business? You know, like Bud Light. Remember that? Remember when the right-wingers were all upset because Bud Light sent a beer can to a transgender person? Oh my God, we got to boycott Bud Light. We had Kid Rock shooting up cases of beer that he presumably bought. I always love that in the boycotts when they buy something to destroy it. Like, well, thanks. Thanks for buying my product. Yeah, the boycotts, big problem with boycotts, right? Like the NFL. Remember that when the right wingers were saying we had to boycott the NFL because it was so woke because they were letting Colin Kaepernick protest. You know, he was on his knees during the national anthem. Well, he had to boycott then. Oh, the boycotts were so important then. Apparently not illegal collusion and conspiracy there, but boy, try to boycott a Tesla. Now it's suddenly domestic terrorism. So let's get out there on March 29th, boycott the Teslas. I'll be out there with you. Continuing to follow the decline of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, the Republican from New York and the highest ranking Jewish person in American government. Of course, his disastrous betrayal of the Democrats the last week in allowing the filibuster to be closed and allowing the continuing resolution to pass to fund the government that gives DOGE statutory authority and prevents Congress from auditing them or checking up or over having any oversight over DOGE in any way, basically giving the keys away to the store. And the other betrayal about that was, you know, he went on the talk shows to talk about how it'd be so much worse under a government shutdown, because that would give DOGE and Musk more power to be able to shut down everything and not reopen everything. The problem with that reasoning is, did he just come to that reasoning in the space of 12 hours? Because the day before on Thursday, he was saying the Republicans aren't going to get any support from them. That's the real problem here, is the betrayal. Not necessarily that his point was bad. I still disagree with it. I still think we should have shut the government down. But at least if he was going to try to make that point, why didn't it get made much earlier? And why didn't it convince any more than 8 other Democrats and 1 independent? So Schumer's been on tour, not his book tour that he canceled because, you know, he fears for his safety. But he went on tour to some of the morning shows to explain himself. And a new revelation has come out. This is from a book that's coming out. Let me get the title for this. It was just in this bit. Madhouse: How Donald Trump, MAGA Mean Girls, a former used car salesman, a Florida Nepo baby, and a man with rats in his walls broke Congress. That's going to be published next Tuesday. And The Guardian got a copy of this and has run some excerpts of it. And the big excerpt that caught my eye was the reporters in this book, the authors, were dining with Chuck Schumer back in 2023. June of 2023. And he said to them, quote, "Here's my hope. After this election, when the Republican Party expels the turd of Donald Trump, it will go back to being the old Republican Party," end quote. And right there, we get to the core of the problem with Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer has been in Washington, D.C. since 1981, when he went to the Congress. He's been a senator since 1999. Okay. So the guy has been in Washington, D.C. since I was a freshman in high school. And I'm 57 years old now. He's completely out of touch with what the people are feeling right now, especially the Democratic base. In his wish to return to the old Republican Party, he reveals an ignorance, first of all, about the current Republican Party. He seems to think that the Republicans are afraid of Donald Trump and are coerced into going along with him. Folks, that ain't the case. The people that like Donald Trump like him because he gives them permission to be the people they are. He gives them the permission to open up their true feelings. They're not going along with him out of fear. They're going along with him because they agree with him. The old Republicans don't exist anymore, Chuck. They are going along with everything Trump is doing right now. Gleefully. And to go back to the old Republican Party, the good old Republican Party, you know, the ones that let black people die in New Orleans during a disaster, the old Republican Party that crashed the economy, the old Republican Party that was against gay marriage and against transgender people, the old Republican Party, that party. We want to go back to that party. We want to go back to the old Republican Party that lied us into a war against a country that had nothing to do with 9/11 so we could kill brown people there and steal their oil. The old Republican Party that traded arms to terrorists to fund illegal wars in Central America. That Republican Party, the one that ended the mental hospitals and fired the air traffic controllers and demonized the black people as welfare queens. That good old Republican Party, Chuck. This has been the attitude of Democrats for at least since Ronald Reagan. And again, Chuck's been there since Ronald Reagan. 1981 was the first Congress of Ronald Reagan. And those Democrats, that class of Democrats from the 1980s, has post-traumatic stress syndrome. They've got post-traumatic stress from having gotten their asses whooped electorally by Ronald Reagan in 1980 and 1984. 1980 when he won all but, what, two or three states? And in 1984, he won all but one state. There were no red and blue states in 1984. There was red states and blue state, Minnesota. And those Democrats of that era got it into their heads, well, America must be a right-wing country. America must be really conservative. And they have acted like it ever since. They have acted as if their policies and their priorities are only shared by a minority of this country. And they have to go along to get along. They have to act in a bipartisan way because they just don't have the majority support. When in fact, the American people, by supermajorities, are for just about everything the Democrats claim to be for. Supermajorities support legal access to abortion. Supermajorities support legal access to weed. They support raising the minimum wage, taxing the wealthy, immigration reform, all of these things that are Democratic priorities are well supported amongst the people. You know where they don't have a lot of support? Amongst the rich. There's a very famous study that has pointed this out, that when it comes to what the people want, there's about a 30% chance that it'll happen in Congress. Whether none of us want it or whether all of us want it doesn't matter. It's got about a 30% chance of passing. But when it comes to what the top 1% want, there is a direct correlation. If they don't want it, it ain't going to happen. If they do want it, it's very likely to happen. Time for our segment on Boycott Idaho, why you should avoid the handmade state, and our number one call to boycott the Idaho potato. No red state is more singularly associated with one product than Idaho and the potato. They even brag about it on their license plates. So, swap out that baked potato for a salad, change those fries to an onion rings. Let's boycott Idaho together and send a message to the red states, particularly this one, that your backward thinking and regressive policies are going to have economic consequences. Now, the reason to boycott Idaho today, and if you'd like the full list of why to boycott Idaho, I've got an up-to-date list. I've got all 49 items. Today is the 49th item I put on the list. On this list on my website, you can find it at radicalrust.com/Idaho, all lowercase, radicalrust.com/Idaho. And today I want to talk about a new bill that's sitting on the governor's desk that is called the Health Freedom Act, or I like to call it the Health Freedom to Infect Others Act, because nothing turbocharged the paranoid conspiracy theories about the evil big government in Idaho than the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020. Already, Idaho is a haven for the anti-science, anti-vax whack jobs. And they have an apocalyptic group called Health Freedom Idaho that fights against any public health measures. These are the woo-woo types that are all into the natural crystal healing ivermectin kind of bullshit stuff, right? So they're completely against any vaccine mandates and were successful in getting the Idaho legislature to ban COVID-19 vaccine mandates. So businesses, schools, government can't force you to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Now the Idaho legislature has gotten together to pass a bill, SB 1023, the Health Freedom Act, and this seeks to expand the currently existing ban on any COVID-19 vaccine mandates to ban the mandating of any medical treatment. That's right. This bill in the state of Idaho, should the governor sign it or allow it to become law, would make it so businesses, schools, or governments could not require you to be undergoing any medical treatment. As the House Democratic leader, Representative Ilana Rubel, explained to Boise Public Radio, quote, "This bill says they can't make you bandage oozing wounds, that they can't make you get lice treatments, that they can't make you cover your mouth if you have Ebola and you're coughing on people," end quote. Literally, the freedom to infect people. Now, to be fair, 14 Republicans did vote against the bill. One of them noted that under the bill, a business couldn't turn away a customer who has an active case of measles, the most communicable disease there is. But the Republicans who support the bill argued that the new law wouldn't be the communicable virus's dream scenario. No. Because as Representative Cornell Razor, a Republican from Sagal, who was raised on a cattle ranch and ran an Army-Navy surplus store and has zero education and training on infectious communicable diseases, as he put it, quote, "I want to meet the person who could diagnose measles when a person walks in their door in their business." How about that guy with all the red spots on his face? Jesus, this is the level of understanding we are dealing with here, folks. Another representative, another Republican who supports the Health Freedom to Infect Others Act, Representative Lucas Kaler, an electronics technician with the Navy and a former big rig trucking mechanic with zero education and training on infectious communicable diseases, agreed, saying that SB 1023 wouldn't cause disease to run rampant, quote, "because it's a part of life. It's always been a part of life. It's what makes us human. We have immune systems, and those immune systems, by and large, regulate." End quote. Regulators, mount up. These Republicans say, well, you can't tell who's infected when he walks in, and by God, we all have immune systems, and that's just nature. That's just natural. We'll just let the immune system sort it out. They want us to die. Republicans don't give a shit about your health. It's the ultimate rot of the worship of individualism. You can't make me. I don't wanna. These people govern like toddlers. Don't make me get the shot. I don't want the shot. The greatest scientific invention of human history that has saved more lives than anything else we have ever done has been vaccination. And they want to argue against it. This is the fundamental difference between progressives and conservatives. Conservatives worship individual freedom. I should be free to do anything I want. I should be able to have all the guns I want. I should be able to reject all the medicines. I should be able to do anything I want with respect to my religion. I can be bigoted against gay people and black people and not hire them. Me, me, me. It's all about me. Whereas those of us on the progressive side recognize that it takes a village, that we're all in this together, that no man is an island, that we have to have a government to promote the general welfare, to provide domestic tranquility. That's a community. That's a society. That's caring for one another. These Republicans are a death cult. It really comes down to being a death cult. And I gotta also point out how much religion factors into this. Religion factors into this because it's not God's way. God will heal us. It's God's plan. And hey, worst comes to worst, you die of some infectious disease, well, you'll just go to see Jesus in heaven and everything will be okay. Well, for the rest of us down here, we understand this life is all we got, and it depends on all of us. We would much rather not you bringing your infected kid to our kids' school. We'd much rather not you bring your infected ass to our workplace and infect the rest of us. The great Uncle Ben once canceled Spider-Man Peter Parker that with great power comes great responsibility. And with great freedoms come great responsibility. I love the freedoms we have in America, but I do not worship them to the point of the harm of others. Your freedom to swing your fist ends where my nose begins. Your freedom to interact with society ends where the chance of infecting me begins. We have to have rules, laws in this society that allow all of us of all different races and backgrounds to be able to interact with each other safely. Health mandates are a part of that. So if you want to stay healthy, you don't want to be infected, I'd cancel your next trip to Idaho. Republican attacks on LGBTQ plus people continue in America. I've got a few stories to talk about, and I think the topic is very important for us to pay attention to because it's kind of one of those canary in the coal mine topics, what they're going to do to the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual people, queer people is a harbinger of what's to come for everyone. And it's amazing to me because a lot of what they propose, a lot of what the right-wingers, the Republicans, the MAGA, are proposing with respect to gay folks and immigrants are the kind of things that they always warned would happen if democratic socialism took place, that the government would mandate how you can look and what you can do and what you can say and what you can read. Well, that's all happening now in their purge and on DEI, on their attacks on gay and lesbian people. So I want to focus on a few stories. And the first one that caught my eye, because Idaho is not the only backward ass red state out there. Arkansas is vying for the honor this week because there's a bill there coming out from the GOP introduced by Arkansas State Representative Mary Bentley, HB 1668, called the Vulnerable Youth Protection Act. And the Senator Alan Clark did introduce the Senate version, same bill. Vulnerable Youth Protection Act. And that already raises my radar because anytime any legislation proposes, what about the children? We've got to protect the children. You know, there's some anti-liberty bullshit coming. And in this one, the bill is not actually criminalizing anything. Okay, so they're not making a crime of this. Part of the reason why is because the right-wingers have recognized that when it comes to this gender presentation issue. There's a First Amendment issue there, right? The First Amendment allows us to speak and present ourselves free from government interference. Already, Arkansas tried this law to ban gender-affirming care for minors, and that was struck down by a federal judge. So, they're tiptoeing around the criminal aspect of this using the trick that Texas used with its anti-abortion law, and that is setting up a bounty system. Setting it up so there can be civil suits, not criminal suits, but civil suits over the vulnerable youth, whatever it is you might want to do to help the vulnerable youth. And what they're doing here is it allows civil enforcement by permitting lawsuits, this is according to ACLU of Arkansas, by permitting lawsuits against any person who supports trans young people by providing or helping to receive gender-affirming care or by affirming young people in their transition. Minors or their parents can sue for minimum damages of $10,000 and up to $10 million in punitive damages for certain forms of medical care. The bill also allows Arkansas parents to sue people or medical providers outside of the state who help Arkansas youth access gender-affirming care. So what they're doing here, you know, the medical part's bad enough, but it also includes support for their social transition. So we're talking about, let's say, a young trans girl who doesn't go on puberty blockers, who doesn't have any sort of surgery, but decides to present as a girl. The bill defines social transitioning as, quote, any act by which a minor adopts or espouses a gender identity that differs from the minor's biological sex, including, without limitation, changes in clothing, pronouns, hairstyle, and name. Now, imagine if this thing becomes law. Hairstyle. You can't have a hairstyle that differs from your biological sex? Well, first of all, in order to make that work, you have to define which hairstyles are male and which hairstyles are female. How are we going to do that? How are we going to know that the transgender girl isn't using her long hairstyle to emulate a female like Farrah Fawcett? No, she's using her hairstyle to emulate a male like Sean Cassidy. Okay, I know my references are really old, but so am I. Or the other direction, right? The trans boy. Well, that trans boy, he didn't get that buzz cut to emulate Billy Idol. He got that buzz cut to emulate Grace Jones. How do you define which hairstyle is male or female in order to determine that the trans kid is using the wrong hairstyle? That's good. And the clothing, same with the clothing, right? Your Honor, this trans girl wasn't wearing a skirt. She was wearing a kilt. How do you define this? Oh my God, this is some North Korea shit where they have like 14 approved haircuts. So you can't have any or their name, right? No. I'm not Sam for Samantha. I'm Sam for Samuel. Like, how are you gonna enforce this stuff? Obviously, it's got all sorts of free speech problems with it. This I don't think can survive the federal courts at all. But that's not its point necessarily. The point of bills like this is state mandated bullying. This just gives the green light to the people in Arkansas that want to bully trans kids to be able to do so. It's just disgusting. And another bit of anti-LGBT news I wanted to bring to you comes from San Francisco, where the largest pride celebration takes place every June. Anheuser-Busch, the beer makers, have withdrawn from the San Francisco Pride sponsorship, like $300,000 that they're going to be out because Anheuser-Busch has withdrawn. Remember, Anheuser-Busch, makers of Bud Light, they are the ones that got hit by the boycott of the right-wingers who were upset that they sent Dylan Mulvaney, the trans woman, a beer can.
Oh, no.
Boycotts are good then, right? Boycotts are good in that case. So we're seeing this continued attack on LGBT people, and it's now starting to work its way into the corporate sphere where they're feeling the heat. They don't want to be associated with LGBT rights. I sure hope this backfires on them. I hope this backfires like what's happening with Target. Target's stock and income profits have dropped precipitously since they have gone against DEI, saying they're going to get rid of DEI, going along with the DEI purge. Meanwhile, Costco affirms its support for diversity, equity, and inclusion and sees its stock and memberships skyrocket. The old mantra of go woke, go broke seems not to be true. And we need to make that happen with these chicken shit brands like Bud Light and Anheuser-Busch that stand up to be supporters of gay and lesbian people when they think they can make a buck off of it. A little political heat comes their way and their fair weather friends, they turn their back on the LGBT community. Speaking of turning our back on the LGBTQ community, little Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, who was affirmed in a 99-0 vote in the Senate because every single Democrat supported him. Marco Rubio has removed LGBTQ people and women from the annual U.S. State Department Human Rights Report. This is reported by Politico and is going along with the DEI purge in the federal government that says we can't mention anything about anybody who's not a white male. We can't single out blackness or gayness or femaleness because that would be divisive. It would make white people feel bad. So this section normally talks about the physical harm, the persecution, the freedom of expression that have been attacked for gay people. That's out. We're no longer going to report on that. There was similarly a section on women's issues that include forced intercourse, rape, right? Battery, reproductive rights, female genital mutilation and discrimination. No longer being reported on by our U.S. State Department. But in place of those deleted sections, there's going to be a new section on religious freedom. Or as it's known in right-wing circles, the freedom to discriminate because the Bible says so. Freedom to treat people badly because the Bible says so. This is one of many reasons why the United States now has been dropped to a letter C grade on global LGBTQ rights. We used to be a B. Now we've dropped down to a C. Yet another way the United States is becoming a pariah in the rest of the world, where other countries are moving forward on gay rights and transgender rights. We're being left behind because we're hijacked by this MAGA death cult. And it goes down smooth. Hey! Well, that's it for today. Thanks for joining me. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by freestockmusic.com and VTEMO, courtesy of freetouse.com/music. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUSS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as @radicalrus.com and nowhere else. You can support the show financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at radicalrus.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care of each other.